Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah, happy Tuesday, everyone. I don't care if you don't like the way I say Tuesday. That's the way I say it.
Shira, no one even bought that up. No one even bought it up.
People always bring it up. No, My housemate says that I don't say Tuesday right. You say that I don't say Tuesday right.
I think this was just another ploy to bring it all the way back to you.
I'm just saying, if you say Tuesday like me, then I'm here for you. We're all in this together. You're listening to Let's Go There, though. We're going to be catching up, of course, on the news of the day. So much more. We've got a great show lined up for you. Let me tell you, some great guests. We've got astronaut Scott Kelly from NASA. He's a real astronaut.
I mean, I can't believe it. He's been to space like 64,000 times. Maybe not
exactly,
that many
yeah. times.
Maybe not that many times, but still, it's like such an honor.
You're a great hype man.
It's such an honor for him to be on our show, Shira. I feel like that during quarantine, we're taking full advantage of everyone being at home, and this is absolutely.
Oh, totally.
It's the coolest interview that we've done yet.
Plus, Ashley Marie Preston is joining us to talk about Trans Visibility Day. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be great. We're going to learn a lot of great information from her. And how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful today. You know, I'm still feeling sad about going to grocery stores. I've been trying to get to Trader Joe's, but every time I drive over there, it's like a line around the building. And honestly,
oh, really?
I refuse to wait. And I just thought that would die down by now. But then I remember, oh, Ryan, everyone is stuck at home just like you. So of course they have time to go to the grocery store. I honestly feel like people are hanging out at that damn grocery store like it's a social gathering. I feel like people are taking advantage of it.
You know, they should make like a Google Maps for grocery stores, like if there's traffic. Like, so if you could see if like a grocery store is green, that means it's empty. If it's yellow, it's like a bit packed. If it's red, do not go there.
Or if it's green, that means the meat's bad and you probably shouldn't buy it.
Well, I don't eat meat. So there you go. I'm in the clear right there.
You eat fish.
No, I'm vegetarian vegan right now. Get with the program.
I specifically remember when your mom was in town that we didn't we eat
that
some...
was the last time I ate fish before this all went down. Okay.
I'm just saying.
I appreciate you for calling me
just...
out. I will be the first to find like the one way to call you out. By the way.
I'm just saying, I feel like my skills are getting better in quarantine because I have nothing else to do. So
yeah, sniffing out all the things that are wrong.
Well, I guess
criticism.
I guess it's time for us to get started, though.
Yes, let's get started. And sending everyone positivity.
No, honestly.
All right. Let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. Trump just had a press conference. He loves having press conferences right before our show.
Of course.
Gives us some news to talk about and share. He said that there are almost 10,000 ventilators being held back from distribution because he said the surge is coming.
Let me also update you on the distribution of urgently needed resources and supplies. And we have a lot of numbers. I'm going to let Mike Pence speak to that in a little while. But we're giving massive amounts of medical equipment and supplies to the 50 states. We also are holding back quite a bit. We have almost 10,000 ventilators that we have ready to go. We have to hold them back because the surge is coming, and it's coming pretty strong. and we want to be able to immediately move it into place without going and taking it. So we're ready to go, and we've also distributed.
Now, he previously said he thinks it would be difficult to get equipment back from states and redistributed once they have been issued to hospitals. It's scary when he says the surge is coming, but I guess we'd rather him be real about it than act like it's a hoax or like it's not there, because that's the way we get to prepare.
Yeah, and you know he's good for trying to twist up the truth and make it seem like, oh, it's not as big of a deal, or, you know, we shouldn't be taking that seriously, because guess what? We've seen that happen. So, yeah, I think we should know that there is a surge coming, and there's possibly, after all this happening, that, you know, there's going to be another kind of re-up of the situation. So we just have to continue to listen to the doctors and the experts that are on the front lines doing this. That's who I care about.
Now, in the press conference, he also said how small business owners will be able to apply for loans to weather this economic downturn on a first-serve basis beginning Friday as part of this newly passed stimulus package. The Payroll Protection Program aims to provide $349 billion in forgivable loans to small businesses to help them maintain employee payroll, make rent or interest payments on their mortgages, pay utilities, or cover their overhead costs. That's according to the administration. Businesses are expected to receive their checks within 3 weeks of applying. Borrowers will be charged 0.5% interest as part of the administration's efforts to offer funding to small businesses so they can continue, of course, operating shutdown. That's according to the Treasury Department.
All right.
Now, also more news coming out of the U.S. Coronavirus cases have hit 150,000, nearly double China's total infections, making the U.S. now the epicenter of the outbreak. So we have surpassed China, Italy, which has more than 101,700 cases, including 11,591 deaths. And that's the highest death toll so far, by the way. There have been at least 770 new coronavirus deaths reported in the U.S. today. That's according to a count from CNN Health. And as I mentioned, it's the most reported deaths in the U.S. in a single day since the coronavirus outbreak. There have been a total of 3,774 deaths reported in the U.S. since the outbreak. So we are lower than Italy for that as well. Now, coming up, Trump is backing an infrastructure bill as the next phase of coronavirus relief. More details on that after this. We are back on Let's Go There, continuing to bring you the show during this entire crazy quarantine. Now, let's get into this. President Trump today encouraged Congress to pass a $2 trillion infrastructure bill as the next piece of legislation to boost the economy because of the entire coronavirus pandemic. He said, with interest rates for the United States being at zero, this is the time to do our decades-long awaited infrastructure bill. It should be very big and bold. I love how he uses those adjectives. $2 trillion and be focused solely on jobs and rebuilding the once great infrastructure of our country. What does that even mean? I want to know if this is separate from the stimulus bill we already have. Democratic political strategist Drexel Hurd is back with us. Thanks again for being here.
Always good to be back. Hello, friends.
Hi.
Hello. Now, is this a separate bill? I'm kind of confused here because it felt like it took forever to get this first bill passed.
Sure. So there are four phases that Speaker Pelosi had talked about for Congress to look at over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Phase one was testing, focused on testing. Phase two is focused on emergency. Phase three was focused on mitigation, which was the $2.2 trillion stimulus package that we saw last week. Mm-hmm. And phase four is focused on infrastructure. So this bill is a little bit different. So this is a piecemeal operation for Congress to be able to work with each other to find common ground on different areas that work over these four phases.
Interesting. So I guess when I think about infrastructure, is that meaning just buildings around, like making sure things are happening, like roads and stuff? I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
So in a normal infrastructure bill, yes, that's what that would be.
Okay.
In this particular infrastructure bill, it is focused primarily on how to fight this pandemic. This is going to be focused on worker safety, making sure that those on the front lines in the OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, protections that are for workers are out there, and that they're pretty solid. It also includes, at least the The House's version will include broadband access and water resources. You know, Michigan and Flint. Hopefully, they can we can fix some pipes in Flint, Michigan. But it also, I think the speaker's also looking to expand on state funds and local governments on paid family leave and medical leave, things that could not, that were not in the last three, the last three phases.
Wow.
Yeah. So this could really help with things that we've been waiting for years, or do you think they're going to say, well, that's not going to be included because it's not an emergency right now and doesn't connect to what's happening with the pandemic now?
Well, Republicans certainly are going to try to spin it that way. But I think that Democrats are on the right track when it comes to, you know, making sure that the things that the president has wanted, it's like a win-win for everybody. You know, get the things in that the Democrats want, and then the president can say that he did something, but Democrats can always take credit for it later.
Well, we have not seen you since, you know, Trump is, he's kind of extended the social distancing, right, till April 30th. I would love to know your take on how do you think he's actually been handling everything? Because we had another political analyst on, and, you know, she really reports from both sides. She's very bipartisan, and not saying that you're not doing that as well, but I would love to know your take because she felt like, you know, oh, it's good to that he's at least doing something now and he's taking it seriously. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's interesting that somebody would take to say that the president's taking it seriously. I think the people around the president are taking it seriously. I think if you look at the president's tweets, I think if you look at the press conferences that he's had, the rollout of the CEO of MyPillow yesterday or today, like those aren't serious actions of some. Those aren't the actions of somebody who's serious. Those are the actions of somebody who wants the publicity. I mean, for weeks, we heard this president talk about the economy. But the economy, as it pertains to what the president was talking about, the Dow and stock market, stuff like that, don't actually affect normal Americans and normal American families down the line. So, I mean, it's like, how serious is this president when it comes to, because the economy is the only thing that he can run off of, because there's really nothing that this administration has done over the last 4 years other than ride the coattails of the Obama administration.
Well, I know, like, even Deborah Briggs, who has actually been, she's a doctor, she's on the coronavirus task force, she has said that their data even shows that if the country, you know, executes social distancing measures perfectly, even still between 100,000 and 200,000 people could possibly still die. And that's reported by CNN Politics. I mean, it seems like he's, it still seems like he's taking that number 200,000 as like, oh, that's not a lot compared to the bigger picture, but that still feels like such a big hit to this country. It's
yeah, I think as the president should get out there and say any death, one death is too many.
Yeah.
That should always be the initial response. And then I think it's about mitigation and saying, look, but we are making sure that we keep the numbers as low as possible. And this president has not said that. I think Dr. Bix the other day during an interview certainly showed her hand, unfortunately, by saying that this president is one of the smartest people in the room, or something, I'm paraphrasing, as it comes to looking at data or something along
really?
Those lines. And
yes.
And you're like, oh, okay, we see who you're still pandering to. Right now. So I think that a lot of things that this administration says we got to take with a grain of salt, and that's the unfortunate position that we're in. I think that if you're looking at, I think that anybody looking at the leadership of Governor Cuomo, the leadership of Governor Newsom here in California, and a few governors across the country, I think that those are the people that we should be listening to as it pertains to leadership.
Which, speaking
Cuomo, he's really standing out right now. And I'm just saying, like, just watching him, it's really amazing to watch him and witness that. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in a few years when another presidential nomination is happening.
Well,
I hope Governor Cuomo's, you know, Chris Cuomo was diagnosed with coronavirus today. So hopefully he will recover soon.
Definitely. Yep. Well, thank you, Drexel Hurd, for being back with us again. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Drexel is, again, a Democratic political strategist. When he said data, by the way, Ryan, and Drexel, you're here still, but all I thought was President Trump holding that map with the hurricane and, like, drawing on it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. I was like, oh, yeah, the data guy. Okay, we're moving into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea?
All right, so Andy Cohen, remember when we reported when he tested positive for coronavirus? Well, he's finally revealing the symptoms that he felt. Listen up, because, girl, you never know who may have it if you're experiencing these symptoms. So we'll be right back, because I'm spilling the tea. All right, we are back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And the celebrity that is letting us know how it feels to have COVID-19 is finally speaking up. And of course, that man is Andy Cohen. Andy Cohen is finally giving us an update because, you know, you heard it here first when we reported it. Andy Cohen revealed that he had basically tested positive after feeling terrible. He was taking a quick break. People were worried about, oh, my God, he's around his child. Are they staying separated? Well, he's finally talking and he's saying he's feeling better after testing positive. And he's even opening up about his experience with the disease. Now, Shira. I'm so nervous to play this clip because every time I hear about the symptoms, I start re-examining my own body, being like, am I feeling these things?
You get a bit neurotic. Yeah. It's like you take on the things that you're scared of, right? As a lot of people say that. There's a lot of videos and memes going around, including on TikTok, of people like, the minute you feel something, you start thinking you have the symptoms.
Yeah, well, he said it took about 10 or 11 days, I would say, to work through his system. He said it takes a bit to get your energy back. But here is what he's saying.
People were asking me, what's going on with you? I felt like I wanted to recuperate quietly and be quiet and then come back and be with you guys. That was kind of my process. One thing, I took a lot of Tylenol, took a lot of vitamin C and liquids. My symptoms were a fever, tightness in my chest, a cough, very, very achy, a lot of aches and pains in the body, and very tired, some chills, loss of smell and appetite.
Now, of course, you know, he was, he first was announced that when he had COVID-19 was back in March 20th. So he's been social distancing all the way up until now.
That's a bit of time. Yeah. It's 10 days right now or 11 days. So that makes sense. I mean, that's why they say that the 2 weeks are important.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea of like him talking about and hearing him talking about kind of, you know, the lack of oxygen, the fever, the chest tightening, the loss of taste and appetite. He said there was a lot of aches and pains in his body. We just heard him talk about that. And he even went on and talked about, and this is something we didn't play. He went on and talked about how he relied heavily on a pulse oximeter. And it's a device sold over the counter at drugstores to monitor his lung activity. He said it measures how much oxygen you're getting to your lungs. His doctor had told him what the reading would be in case it would be a cause for alarm. I mean, it's wild. He also, of course, like he said in the clip, he did a lot of Tylenol, vitamin C, a lot of fluids. But I just get I just get nervous hearing people talk about these symptoms.
Listen, it is what it is. Unfortunately, all you can do is what you're doing, which is, you know, listening to what the doctors are saying to do, and you can't do any more, right? Yeah. I mean, a lot of this is like our own dealing with fear and a lack of control, because you can do as much as you can do, and that's all. And you just have to, unfortunately, like just hope for the best. And it is positive to see someone like Andy, who is a bit older. I mean, what is he, mid 40s or 50?
He's 51.
Yeah, so 50, and like that is that age, like 50 plus, where it is definitely worrisome. But to see how he got through it, he was at home, he didn't need to go to the hospital, at least should make people feel a bit more optimistic. I mean, like everyone, that's the thing is, but you don't know how your body's going to react. Everyone reacts differently. So all we can do is just have hope and stay positive.
Well, I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a cliffhanger here. If you want to know if there's going to be any Real Housewife of, you know, reunions coming up, he talks about that. And he also gave us an update about him, you know, reuniting with his one-year-old son, Benjamin. Head over to WeAreChannelQ.com, honey, and make sure to keep us followed at LGT Show, where you can get all the entertainment news over there as well. I'm done spilling.
Well, coming up, it might be tempting to book that cheap vacation to Hawaii right now, but don't do it. We speak with senior travel editor at The Points Guy, Melanie Lieberman, about how your getaway could be putting lives in danger. That's next. We are back bringing you what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. A Louisiana pastor who continues to openly disregard a ban on large gatherings was issued a summons from police for violating the governor's executive order. I'm so happy this is happening because so many people are deciding to create their own laws here and exemptions, right? And exclusions.
So here's the thing. I was raised in the church. I actually understand this a lot. My grandmother, we had to tell her to stay her ass inside because she was still wanting to go to church. And a lot of times, and I've spoken about this on the show, for the African-American community, church, especially in a time of pandemic, people really rely on their faith. And people are really relying on that, but they're also defying the rules. And large gatherings at churches are not supposed to be happening with something like this going on. And so I do think there's going to have to have some measures that need to be taken, because the amount of people that were at this church, are you kidding me?
Including older people who should not be outside and interacting with others right now. Well, and anyone for that matter, but this could be very dangerous. He had held 6 services March 16th, when, of course, the governor had announced no gatherings of more than 50 people. He hosted about 500 worshipers at a Sunday service at his church.
I mean, okay? What and in the mess?
A city of nearly 29,000 near Baton Rouge. And we actually, I saw another article about this where someone did some sort of gathering for their choir at their house, and basically a bunch of people got COVID-19. So this is real. There's a reason why this is happening. And people are being told to socially distance from one another. So that's just one example of a church doing this. And hopefully these churches innovate and figure out how to go virtual, because that's the way they should be doing it.
My mom's church has already gone virtual. The church that I was attending out here, it already goes virtual. It does a lot of Facebook Lives. It's just, I think people are trying to reshift. And it's actually funny that we're talking about this and to wrap this up. My mom, she used to harp on me to be like, you need to go to church and actually be, you know, in a sanctuary and I was like, Mom, you get the same type of feeling watching it versus the computer or whatever connection that you need. And she was like, now, yesterday we were talking, she was like, I'm so happy you said that, because now that people are being forced to actually do it, people are saying that, guess what, you can still have this connection. You don't have to be so dated with your perceptions of like what you think you need to like worship whatever spiritual guidance you're worshiping.
It's pushing people to have faith in different ways that they weren't used to, which I think is really beautiful and important right now. Now, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti announced a halt to rent increases on the city's more than 624,000 rent-stabilized units. And he said he has signed an ordinance also that would allow people to hold off on paying their rent during the crisis. So under LA's rent stabilization ordinance, landlords are limited to increasing rent by no more than 4% per year. But with this latest emergency order, there will not be an increase allowed at these units during the pandemic. Okay? He said this is a common sense action on top of the eviction moratorium. He also shared that he has signed off on a measure delaying evictions, which has been approved by the LA City Council last Friday. It means that after the coronavirus crisis, residential renters will have up to 12 months to pay back their rent, while commercial tenants will have 3 months. This measure will replace a previous order he put out that also put a hold on evictions. So that's the latest coming out of Los Angeles.
So I guess that's the silver lining there. At least you have a little bit of time. You have a year to pay back your rent, but still.
But there's like, still a payback. It's like, where's that money?
I know. It's literally kind of, you're going to feel like, either you're going to feel like you're kind of trampled and you're being suffocated with all the dues that you have to pay. I mean, the idea, the debt is just really, it's a big deal right now.
Should be just grace, a grace period. You don't need to pay. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Now, the Trump administration is telling hospitals they can split ventilators between 2 patients, and it's escalating calls to scrap elective surgeries. New federal guidelines on these ventilator splitting. It's an idea that's been used very rarely, actually, in emergency situations. It emphasizes it should, quote, only be considered as an absolute last resort for hospitals swamped by coronavirus patients And of course, this all brings up many ethical decisions that will need to be made about how to prioritize which patients receive life-saving appointments. And we're hearing a lot about those stories, and it's super sad to think that we're in that place as a society right now where a doctor
has
a
to
medical
make that
professional needs to decide who deserves what.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
And that was so much trending in the news right now, top of the hour. More in the next hour right here on Let's Go There. But coming up, we speak with astronaut Scott Kelly about how being quarantined is actually like being in space. Who knew? That's next. Okay, we are back. And as we are all staying home to flatten the curve, we are all facing a lot of challenges in quarantine.
Yes,
and also
we are.
Some good times. We get to record our show, of course. Oddly enough, during this time, there's a lot we can learn from astronauts who have been in space. That's why we are so excited. This is probably one of our favorite interviews we might be doing so far.
I mean, sure, you know how I feel about like just sci-fi or just space in general.
Yes.
So I would have never thought in my career I would be able to say, oh yeah, let's talk to an astronaut. That's easy.
Exactly.
And then
what's happening today?
The top astronaut, right? Like, it's just like, wow, goals. Can we ever?
Joining us right now, Let's Go There, former NASA astronaut Scott Kelly, here to share his tips on self-isolation. Thank you, Scott, so much for taking time during this time to be with us.
Well, my pleasure. And, hopefully you're not setting your expectations too high with me. We'll have to, the jury's out on how this will go.
I followed you in 2015 when you were also sharing so much on social media, I remember. And you've been just so good at staying connected to audiences even then and now. So I guess, did you imagine there would be a time where you'd be able to give like humans tips like this, like what's happening now, where people wouldn't be able to leave their homes and what you've been through, we would benefit from?
You know, I never gave it a whole lot of thought. Really, I never did imagine that we would really be here. I knew that we were always at a risk of a pandemic, but I never, thought of exactly what that would look like. So, it's somewhat, serendipitous. I don't know if that's the right word, but I feel like I do have something to offer people and hopefully some advice that would help them get through this.
Why did you think that we would one day hit a pandemic? Is it just because of how history flows? And why would you think that in the back of your mind?
Because I read a lot and listen to the experts on this. Bill Gates has been talking about this for a really long time. We're in such an interconnected world with international travel. If you look at the Spanish flu 100 years ago, how bad that was. And that was not in a society that was so connected with travel. So I thought that it was possible, but it's really unfortunate that it's actually happened.
Yeah. We're talking to astronaut Scott Kelly right now. And you were in space, I know, between, was it 1995 and 2015?
Well, I flew my first flight in 1999.
Yeah, 1999. Yeah. And I guess, what tips can you share with people? Because how long were you in space for at a time?
So I've flown four times. My first flight was a week, my second flight 2 weeks, my third flight 159 days. And my fourth, 340. So if you plot that curve, it's like exponential. So if I was to fly a fifth time, I would never come back, or it'd be like 5 years long.
Wow.
So, but I think it's important for people to first of all have a certain expectation and mindset. I think people need to realize that this pandemic and their performance during it may very well be the most significant thing that they ever have to do, where their performance and how they handle this and whether they follow the rules and the guidelines not only has an impact on their personal health, but has an impact on our society as a whole. Because if we don't follow this social distancing properly, people will die. More people will die. And what impact that has on our society. I also think you know, unlike my experience in space, at least I knew that I was going to be in space for a year, nearly a year. Now, having said that, when you launch in March and your landing is in the following March and you can't see the end from the beginning, it required me to kind of adjust my whole like reference frame on what my life was. And I kind of made a conscious decision that this is my mission. It's important. The job I do is critical to my own safety, the safety of my crew members, the, you know, the success of what we're trying to do in space. And then someday it will be over. But this is my life. This is how I live. Don't count the days. Don't count up. Don't count down. Mm. Just, you know, try to make this, you know, all of us, this is our new reality. But I think there are things, specific actions we can take on a daily basis in our homes, our apartments, that will make this easier.
Right.
Okay, well, hold that thought, because when we get back, we're going to get into those tips on surviving self-isolation with former NASA astronaut Scott Kelly. We are back with NASA astronaut Scott Kelly as we all hang out and chat from our homes. And now we're getting into those tips on how to survive this whole quarantine, self-isolation, stay at home.
So, yeah. So, first of all, I think it's important to... you know who your crew is, your space crew, right? So when I was in space, I was there with astronauts, and I recognize that, you know, we're all not great at everything. We have different skills and abilities. It's important to, you know, help people elevate themselves if you can, but also understand that that's not always going to be possible. People deal with stress and anxiety in different ways, and I think we just need to be understanding of that. You know, I think communication is important. If you're feeling isolated or you're feeling stressed out by the people you're with, maybe you're at home and you're isolated, I think it's important to talk about that with whoever is available. I think if we let issues go on for too long, they just become greater and harder to deal with. So I think it's important to have a schedule.
Yeah.
You know, if you're lucky enough to work at home, you know, schedule your work time, but when you go to sleep, you're at work, and you're at work, and you wake up, you're still at work. It tends to make you feel like you can overwork and burn yourself out. Yeah. So,
wow, you're talking to me right now. I think that's something a lot of people are trying to. I have a friend who is using this time to work, because if they're just sitting around, they feel antsy. The anxiety starts to bubble in and they're feeling like, okay, if I just put all of my efforts into my work, it keeps me busy. But you're speaking about that balance, right? And how important that is.
Yeah, so we, in space and in my apartment in Houston, we schedule time in the morning. At NASA, we called it post-sleep. And before you went to work, that time was pre-sleep. And basically, it's time for your hygiene. It's time to kind of decompress at the beginning or the end of the day, maybe in the morning. That's when you have your breakfast. And then we schedule work time throughout the day. We have dedicated time for lunch to take a break. We, my wife and I, when I say we, I'm talking about my wife, Amiko, and I, we schedule time for exercise, time to get outside as much as is allowed. Astronauts in space in isolation, their immune systems are suppressed as a result of the isolation. Because of the stress. It's because of the lack of being outdoors, the lack of natural light. It's the same situation here. And the last thing we need is to have our immune system suppressed when we're all trying to fight a virus. We need to schedule time to take care of our environment. On the space station, bacteria, viruses grow much more rapidly. So we're living with a suppressed immune system. We have an environment that is hostile to us. So on the weekends on the space station, we would wipe down everything that we put our hands on throughout the week. And I think people need to be doing a similar thing. In their homes. We treat the front door of our house kind of like an airlock. You know, bad stuff outside, good stuff inside, clean our phones, clean our keys. So, you know, scheduling time for those activities, time to connect with people outside of your your team, your crew, the people you're isolated with is very important.
Now we're talking with former astronaut for NASA, Scott Kelly. And, you know, we're giving all these tips, but why do you think it's so difficult for people to really sit by themselves and social distance? It seems like on the news that it's very hard for a lot of people.
Well, I think they need to recognize how important this is and how significant a historical event this is. And, you know, I hope people would want to look back at this experience when it's over and think, you know, am I proud of how I did? Did I do the right thing? Not just for myself, but for everyone else? Or was I part of the problem instead of being part of the solution? But I think this idea of scheduling stuff, you know, hobbies, scheduling a time for a hobby, time to connect, time to go outside, taking a break from the news. It's important to stay informed. But at the same time, if you're listening to this news and watching the death toll ratchet up every day, I mean, that's just going to make you anxious and maybe even scared.
So wait, are you watching TV? Like, does someone like you watch TV? Like, you're watching something on Netflix?
Sometimes. Unfortunately, we just finished Tiger King.
Yes! Taste! You got taste!
I need something else.
I can send you a long list of things. I got you. Start Ozark.
All right.
Ozark season 3 is where you need to be.
We watched Ozark, and I liked it, but for some reason, you know, sometimes you just stop.
Yeah, you can't get into it. We are talking to former astronaut for NASA, Scott Kelly. Do you have any passion projects or things that you're going to want to do during this time? Like, I feel like everyone is obsessed with these, like, things that they've put off. Do you have anything that you've put off in your life?
I mean, besides your New York Times best-selling book, you know.
Yeah, it's right over there.
Promo.
Right from my shoulder. So, you know, I've worked on some other writing projects, fiction stuff. Fortunately, or I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, probably fortunate for me, I'm doing a lot of this kind of stuff, you know, trying to help people talk about living in isolation and how they can better deal with this.
Right.
So we've been pretty busy with that. I ordered a guitar trainer, not a guitar, but like one of these electronic guitar trainers. But I think everyone else has ordered them too, so it hasn't shown up yet.
Scott, and lastly, I guess, and you've talked about this, just like tips overall, but like, what do you do for yourself mentally, for your mental health? Are you someone that like journals or does meditation?
Well, I did journal in space, write a journal. And I think that's that can be helpful for a number of reasons. One is, you know, when we come out of this, you'll have something to remember this experience by for good or bad. Maybe you can do something with it.
Yeah.
But also, especially for people that might be isolated by themselves and don't have the ability to communicate well with others, I think writing your feelings down is important because it at least helps you admit to yourself that you're experiencing challenges.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a pleasure.
I mean, this is an honor. This is an honor.
To spend the day. Yeah. Now I feel like our day is made.
I mean, I feel like I'm ready to go to space. Can I do that?
It seems like the Earth's not really the best place to be right now. So maybe we should just all go to space.
Someday we'll all be able to just... someday in the future there'll be a pandemic and we'll just all push the eject button. And eject us off the planet for a while.
Wow, Scott, you are my type of guy. I had no clue I would have so much in common with you.
Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. Stay safe, stay healthy. We really appreciate your time.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, today is International Transgender Day of Visibility and it's honored every year. It's a time to celebrate the transgender community around the globe. And we are so excited to have one of our favorites, media personality, activist, so much more, Ashley Marie Preston, joining us to talk about this day right now. And of course, why it's so important. Thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you know, I like to introduce Ashley saying the one and only Ashley Marie Preston.
Of course.
Because I've always been a fan of you before we even met. And then obviously you've been on the show and you've been on a couple of times now. But what is today in the middle of COVID-19? How are trans people celebrating this? How is it impacting your life right now?
Many of us the same way that like we've been taking it. The truth is that we've been social distancing for hundreds of years, you know, and before the virus was the coronavirus, it was transphobia, it was bigotry, it was anti-blackness, sexism, all of that rolled into one. And so I think that during this International Trans Day of Visibility, what we have on display is our resilience. You know, because we know that when these sorts of things happen, we always bear the brunt of it. Those who are those who are low income, and those who are, you know, undocumented, and those who are, you know, Black and brown, and those who are sex workers, and those who struggle with mental illness, and all of these different sub-communities that are often left in the shadows when we're having the conversation about this pandemic.
Okay, so now, Ashley, what are your thoughts on, you know, Idaho Governor Brad Little signing two bills into law that will make life harder for trans youth and adults in his state on the eve of Trans Day of Visibility?
That last name just explains it. That's what this is all about. It's the last name, honey. It's in the last name. Like, Mr. Little has a very little... scope of like what it means to be respectful and what it means to have compassion for other people. These girls, but this isn't brand new. Like, these girls have been carrying on like RuPaul's Drag Race contestants forever. Like, they always look for the shadiest ways to reach for us. And it's kind of just like, you know, at the end of the day, there are bigger fish to fry. Like, it's interesting, just like how William Barr, A.G. William Barr, made that comment about trans children, these trans girls really being boys.
Yeah.
Where do you find the time?
Right.
Where do you find the time? So you mean to tell me that we have a pandemic where there are thousands of people dying, that there are in the hundreds of thousands, six-digit cases, and you are finding time to come after trans people? Like, what is the actual obsession? Like, what is it?
And I think of what you were going back to touch on to what you were saying about, you know, trans people have been dealing with this for so long, and, you know, non-binary folks have been dealing with this for so long. What in the cases of allies and people in our community should be doing right now? Because I've been seeing a lot of, you know, threads on Twitter where, you know, people are saying, how about you donate to some of your friends? Like, slide into that Cash App or that Venmo.
Period. Well, see, actually, so I was writing all day yesterday, and I'm doing a piece for Playboy that's talking about just that. And so it should be coming out this week, but just a few quick pointers. Definitely slide into the Venmo, Cash App, the Patreon if you want to do like monthly, the personal GoFundMe page. One of the things that I have been telling people is before they pull out their checkbook and start writing to the first organization that pops up on their Google search page, make sure that it's a mission that is actually centering us. When you have an organization that has a CEO that's making in the high six digits, and when none of the executive leadership looks like queer and trans people of color, that's probably not the organization. You know, we learned a long time ago as trans people of color, more specifically even, that we can't trust down top-down government solutions. And so a lot of these nonprofit organizations are a replica of the way that the government runs. It's the same type of infrastructure. And so for us, it's always been an appeal to our allies and our accomplices, and more importantly, grassroots work. I recommend for those who want to personally get involved and who also need help, start looking into mutual aid communities. There's this whole format that's called mutual aid, and it's what sex workers have been doing forever.
Wow.
It's what some of the Black Lives Matter organizers have been doing. And it's when there are these WhatsApp, Signal, and other threads where people come in and they ask for what it is that they need, and the collective group works to get those people what they need. Now, what's interesting is that the framing isn't about charity, but it's about solidarity. So it's about, I may be able to give you this thing, but I also need this thing. And so there's this reciprocity and sense of community and well-being that gets us through these hard times. And so in that article that comes out, I'm going to actually have a format and a couple of spreadsheets on how you can either start your own mutual aid community or how you can join some that are already pre-existing.
Wow.
Well, this has been so helpful. Like, thank you for helping us see another angle to this that we don't see every single day. And happy Trans Day of Visibility to you.
Thank you.
Thanks always for sharing your beautiful positivity with us.
Always. Thank you for having me.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't know where I would be without my trans women of color. I mean, they have been literal pillars in my life. So I love you. You know I do. So thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you stay safe and healthy as well. Ashley Marie Preston. Find her on Instagram at Ashley Marie Preston. It's that easy, right?
Yeah, two E's, no Y.
Amazing. Okay. Coming up, we've got What's Trending in the News, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's time for some What's Trending in the News right now, top of the hour. Now, surprise, surprise, some spring breakers are testing positive for COVID-19.
Oh, now, Shira, wait a second. You know, remember we talked about the whole CBS News thing where they interviewed those spring breakers?
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of the guys that we played from that clip, he ended up actually having to make his Instagram private and then release a statement on, you know, kind of retracting what he said and talking about how serious he takes it. And he's sorry that he was, like, in that moment, you know, saying those awful things and not taking it as seriously. It's crazy. I honestly feel like his grandmother probably saw him and was like, are you crazy?
I can't imagine what his family had to say to him after that. He got canceled. Dragged.
Oh, for sure.
And also by the rest of the world. Now, 28 spring breakers who recently went on a trip to Mexico are self-isolating after testing positive for coronavirus. Health officials said that group of about 70 students in their 20s took a chartered plane to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, about a week and a half ago, you know, because... And we spoke about this, you know, people want to go on vacation, continue the good times during this time because they think, oh, well, the world is shut down. Everyone's on a break. Doesn't mean you jump on a plane and go somewhere.
Yep. We most definitely talked about that earlier. Yeah.
A total of 28 out of those 70 students have tested positive for the virus. Dozens more are under a public health investigation. The county said of the Austin Public Health Department said four of the confirmed cases did not present any symptoms. Mexico at the time of the group's trip was not under a federal travel advisory. So that's the thing. But, you know, it was still very clear that this was being, you know, increasing around the world and to be careful and not put other people in harm's way by continuing to do things yourself that could then end up spreading to others. So,
you know, actually, I just saw a photo of Chicago. The mayor basically has blocked off roads and they've, you know, like of the bridge or like sometimes you can bring up roads. Literally, it's blocked and the roads are up. And I'm just like,
to go to the suburbs, maybe.
I love that. I love that, you know, they're taking these, you know, the mayor's taking these extreme measures to make sure people are like staying at home and you should not be out and about. This is serious. And I really hope people are understanding that. I know we keep saying that and we're really pushing that messaging, but I really, really hope because the stuff that I'm seeing online, especially with these mommy influencers talking about they want to take vacations and stuff right now online, girl, that's a whole other segment.
There was a story about an influencer who brought her family on a cross-country trip.
Yes, and that's exactly
like not the time. I mean, I even had thought, okay, if I did go back home, God forbid something happened, how would I get home? I wouldn't fly. Could I drive? But then I was like, where am I going to sleep if I drive?
In your car. What
I
mean?
Like, you still need to stop at gas places and restaurants or like maybe you just get enough food. I started thinking about that. Like, it is not safe. Just stay at home right now. Stay patient. We're going to get through this. Now, speaking of, you know, work that isn't actually shutting down, there are some productions that are also getting a lot of heat for not shutting down their TV productions. And it includes My 600-Pound Life. A lot of people are actually sharing memes. And this is kind of like, I don't know if you've seen this, where it's like after quarantine, a lot of people are making some like a lot of fat jokes during this whole thing.
Here's the thing. I don't like the fat phobia. My thing is even for myself, you know, you have to check yourself when you're thinking about these jokes. Cause you know, people think, oh, it's just friendly. It's just commentary, but no, that stuff hurts.
And
honestly, these people that are on that show, you got to think about it. They probably have already been quarantining for, you know, forever, because obviously a lot of times their mobility, they're not able to move if you've ever watched the show. And so you just got to think about people's lives and show a little compassion and empathy, bro.
Yeah. Well, after TLC had said that My 600-Pound Life had shut down production because of the outbreak, show crews kept up work in the field over this past weekend, and a lot of people are talking. Someone who's close to the production said, Meglomedia is refusing to shut down. Everyone is just desperate to make it stop. So they're right now supposedly setting up like the cameras so that production can continue even without the crew during this time. So just do the right thing right now, companies. You are responsible as well. Now, LA County has classified grocery store delivery workers as frontline responders.
Okay.
Look at that. And they have passed a motion to protect grocery store delivery and pharmacy workers, now classifying them as frontline responders. As I mentioned, they said, in these difficult times, a visit to the grocery store makes extraordinarily clear that food and grocery delivery drivers are essential workers, and we must do all that we can to protect them. So employers now must sanitize and stock all bathrooms, put sanitizers at the front of the stores, clean stores, clean carts between use, require employees to wash their hands every 30 minutes, provide access to testing, and support employees so they can address family needs. This is so important, including after Amazon, Instacart, and all these companies, it came out, and a lot of these employees are going on strike, that they are not treating their employees properly. Now, this is to protect the health of the employees, but also to protect the health of everyone else they are serving. So it's a domino effect. So I'm happy that at least in LA County, they are making a move here. It should be a federal law or like pushed nationally at this point. Okay, that was somewhat trending in the news right here. And let's go there. Coming up, are you stuck at home with a freeloading roommate? Is it okay to make them do housework? Find out when we get back with our question of the day. Okay, we are back, coming to you from our homes during this quarantine, continuing Let's Go There, of course. And it's more entertaining than ever. Mm-hmm. And as we look into the advice column archives, we found a pretty good one that is very relevant for what a lot of people are going through. This person says, help, I'm covering my roommate's rent. Can I make them do all the chores? So, I mean, this is a really interesting conundrum here.
I mean, especially now, I feel like yes. You would have an opinion now because this is your first time living with a roommate in some way.
Yes, exactly. And I actually asked him, if rent stops, can I not pay him rent? But the only way that could work, is if his mortgage stopped, but then I would still pay. Like, I would say, well, how much are you actually paying? But it gets a bit complicated because he says I'm still working. So he's like, no, I don't think that's going to work. At any rate, my issues aside. This is not about me. I personally think that if you're covering someone's rent, one, they should be doing the laundry, the chores, cleaning the place. And I think they should be cooking.
First of all, yes. Sherry, your roommates and your friends should not be turning into what? The maid? That's not, no. Doing the chores.
It's not a maid. It's providing service to the household.
No, but you want service to yourself. You want to be taken care of. And I don't think that that is not okay. Everyone is dealing with the same amount of anxieties. Obviously, this roommate is at a hard time right now because they can't afford their rent and they're trying to figure everything out. And so it's nice of that person to say, oh, I'll cover it. But yeah, do the chores. I think that is most definitely a great swap. Doing cooking food, like you need to be served, like you are, you know.
It's not about serving. Wait.
Like, no, what you want to be served.
Listen,
I can't believe.
Listen, what better way to ease anxiety than cooking?
To have a maid is a relaxing thing.
Well, no, because you could say chores, and then if you're also taking care of the, what if you're taking care of the groceries? What about
If
you're taking care of the groceries, then why not have someone help cook?
That's not what this says. They said the chores. The chores means, the dishwashing, the laundry, the bathroom.
Cooking could be part of that. It's a chore to cook.
I think it is. I don't think it's a chore to cook because guess what? A lot of people actually enjoy cooking, Sherry. Just because we don't doesn't mean it should be considered a chore.
I do, but it would help if I had a roommate that was an awesome cook, and they would have to be a good cook. Let's also preface that. If you knew this person who you were covering was also a good cook, yes, they should be cooking.
Well, guess what? That's the solution. Just be a terrible cook so you can get out of it and just wash the dishes. That is the solution right there. Okay, I'll serve you, Miss Madam Shira.
I'm not asking for a Miss or Madam. Yes. I'm just saying, you know, it's fun to live. It's like the new way of looking at living together is like a communal way. You know, there's a lot of, not a commune, but there are a lot of these ideas of community living right now where, wait a second, each person has their obligation. And so if my obligation is, okay, I'm paying for everyone right now, your obligation would be X, Y, Z. It's the same as Burning Man.
No, Shira, it's not Burning Man. This is not a Burning Man situation. We're not having a bartering system right now. I am needing as my roommate and my friend to, guess what, to help me in that way of understanding, yes, I will do the chores, but cooking is off limits, and I will not be slaving over a hot stove to make sure your vegan
it's for
food
you
and your quinoa
it's, wait,
is okay.
It's for you too. We could have a joint. We could have an apartment dinner.
Now, what if there's different dieting? You're not thinking about it. You don't eat the same things that I eat. So that means I'm essentially going to have to make 2 or 3, 4 different meals just because you need, you paying my rent? No, get out of my face. I'll be homeless.
Oh, my God.
I'll go sit on
you always street. Connect it to being a slave for me, which is not true. It's not the right way to put it.
I think the good solution here to wrap this up and give everyone a solution, I think this is a great compromise. Doing the chores includes cleaning up, doing dishes, bathrooms, maybe even taking the dog out or two. I think that's what a chore
animal walking,
is.
Pet walking is good. Yeah,
I don't think cooking for the entire household is a chore. If you want that, you better take your ass to DoorDash and order you something from the Cheesecake Factory.
Now, if you want to let us know what you think, you can always slide into our DMs on Instagram at LGT Show. But coming up, do you wish you could go to a drag show right now? How about get a meal in the process? We'll hear how one Canadian drag queen is bringing both to your doorstep. That's next on our Yaz Queen of the Day. Okay, we are back with our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
Where we like to highlight people, organizations doing great things for the world during this trying time. Now, this one goes out to some queens all the way out in British Columbia, my home country of Canada.
Cheer, so you are really trying to force Canada on everyone, and I know you love it. I appreciate it, but, you know, I do think this Yes Queen is very deserving, but you and this Canada agenda.
It wasn't even me. Our producer Chance, or Shiloh, is the one who chose this one and introduced this story to us. So Friends of Dorothy Lounge in Kelowna, British Columbia, is known as the Okanagan's first LGBTQ+ bar. Okay. They are now having drag queens delivering food and wine right to the doors of residents there, starting on Tuesday, March 31st. That's today. So that helps with social distancing, of course, and it makes it easy and sass all at the same time, as they like to say.
Who says that? Who says that? Did you just make that
I don't
that
know.
Up?
They said that in this release. Now we have one of the queens joining us, Frida Wells. Welcome to the show.
Ooh.
Are you there?
Hi.
Oh, that was your entrance.
That
okay,
was her.
I see.
See, Shira, I'm sorry, Frida. Shira doesn't watch Drag Race, so she doesn't understand that all queens have entrance.
Yeah. I knew that was kind of
like my
sure.
catchphrase.
Wow. She's embarrassing. She's really embarrassing me. I'm so sorry. But Frida, this moment, I tell every person that we highlight and we give this award to, it's very big. It holds heavy weight, like the Oscars, I might add. So congratulations.
Almost as heavy as a whale?
Yeah, I mean, almost as heavy as a whale. I mean, congratulations on this. Tell us what made you really get involved, because this is, like, amazing.
So for the delivery thing, I was actually just approached by Rudy Tomaszak, the owner of the bar. I have a weekly show there, so I've been out of work for a little while since this coronavirus happened. So yeah, he approached me and had a great idea with another person, and they want us to deliver food and drag. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you nervous?
Well, no, I'm not nervous. We're all payments are going through on the phone, so we don't touch any money. Okay. If you want to tip us, you can tip us on the phone as well. And we drop off the door, and then I will do a little dance for you like 6 feet away.
I love that. I think this is so creative because one, the drag community is obviously being impacted by this, the performer community,
right.
Anyone who performs in any venues basically has no work right now. So this is a really unique way to get the queens involved and allow you to make money doing what you love.
Yeah, it's a super fun way for us to connect with the fans too, because I know they're missing us. I get a lot of messages, people being like, I can't wait to come back to the live shows. So here's a little wail from afar.
So what have been some of the reactions when you're delivering the food all glammed up in your drag? Has it been kind of like this, you know, positive light in the middle of like such a weird time?
So we haven't started yet. Tonight's our first night delivering, but I posted last night and I've had over 150 reactions so far, and people are pretty excited.
Love it.
I love that.
What do you plan to do? Do you have like your go-to performances that you're going to be doing outside? Because this is a very unique thing. I'm sure you haven't performed in this way before.
Well, I have been performing in my living room like every other queen in, around the world. I do it a little differently, though. I'm a bit of a comedy queen, so I'll probably tell a few jokes and just make them laugh. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
You know he's Canadian because he said figure it out.
Figure it out.
Well, that's where this ends. You get the yes, queen. We're very excited and very happy that you're being able to, you know, bring some light to people's lives and also make some coin, honey, because that's very important. So tip your queens.
Yes, yeah, I've actually got quite a few tips from a few fans, which is nice. I did some like little Cameo videos. I applied to Cameo, but I wasn't famous enough to get on Cameo, so I just did it on myself.
Rude. That is so rude.
You know, make it work. But yeah, that is rude. You should get in touch with us. We'll connect you to them.
I was lucky enough to actually win the Brooklyn Heights and Absolute Vodka $500. I was one of the 50 performers picked, so that was pretty sweet.
Yes! Oh, amazing. My God. Frida, well, yeah. Once this all is gone and done, I hope you come to L.A. and we can come to your show, or maybe we come to Canada. I still haven't been to Canada.
Yeah, come to Kelowna, do some karaoke. We have Whale Wednesdays every Wednesday at Dorothy's. It's coming back as soon as this corona's gone.
Okay. Well, we love your positivity and how much you're doing to keep going. It's really inspiring. Where can people find your work?
So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and TikTok now, all under Frida Wales. Make sure you spell it right, F-R-E-I-D-A. And I do story times as well for kids. So I've got the kind of both ends of the spectrum. I've got some adult humor, but I've also got some kids content. So check me out for anything you like. I also do tours in the Okanagan. So I drive you around in a bus.
Look at that. Multitasking, multi-talented.
Shiloh took one of my wine tours. He had a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much.
I don't know
much.
How much he remembers of it.
Well, we got to keep that on the hush-hush because he got a job to keep. But no, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Stay safe, stay healthy. Now coming up, Will Ferrell gives us songs to sing to while washing our hands. That's next. Hello, we are back, and as we wrap things up, let's wrap them up on a high note, shall we? We love this clip from James Corden's show that he continues to do from home of Will Ferrell stopping by in this video clip to make washing our hands much more entertaining.
Hi there. You know, when James asked me to make this quick little video, I was so pleased. I have been washing my hands obsessively, as I'm sure all of you have, and they tell us that we're supposed to spend at least 20 seconds washing carefully. A lot of you mark the time by singing Happy Birthday. But you know, that's not the only song you have to sing. You can sing many songs. Like, I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet, I've got no rhythm. Oh, or you can always sing this one. Snooze. When the pimp's in the crib, ma, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Anyway.
I mean, how hilarious is Will Ferrell singing Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg to Chandelier and a Rihanna hit? I mean, this is the best thing ever.
It's very cute. You know, you got to mix things up because I just sing Happy Birthday twice because that's what they say, like sing it twice and then you know you've washed your hands
properly. But mix up your playlist. That's boring.
I obviously need to do that. A lot of times, though, when I try to sing other songs, I don't remember the lyrics, so I end up making up my own.
I bet you do. And honestly, that's what he did. He was just humming and nah, 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 nah. So, I mean, I love Will Ferrell. He's always giving some type of light at the end of the tunnel. And Shira, honestly, our show today rocked. How amazing was, I mean, I still can't believe we talked to an astronaut. Are you kidding me? What's going on here?
Scott Kelly was amazing. You can listen to that interview, his tips for surviving the self-isolation, on our podcast and on our site. We are channelq.com. Of course, to find our podcast, just download the app radio.com and search Let's Go There to subscribe so you're notified when we post new episodes. So definitely listen to that one. He was great. And coming up on tomorrow's show, we got another special guest. Frankie Grande is joining us. That is going to be fabulous.
Oh my God, he's back. And guess what, Shira? You know, last time he was on the show, he had just started his relationship and they've already been together for a year. So that means he hasn't been on in a year.
Wow, that long. Time flies by.
It does.
Hopefully he's not going to be breaking up during quarantine like a lot of other people in America.
No, I think he's probably
kidding.
I think he's having plenty of sex.
And plenty of fun, unlike us. We're having fun, just not the other thing. Plus, we're going to be looking at some LGBTQ plus movie picks.
Ooh, oh my God, I actually love that. I'm very excited. You know, I love to watch a lot of things. So hopefully we can figure out what everyone should be watching.
Exactly. That's on tomorrow's show. Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, you better remember to slay.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye, y'all.